Blog Talk Radio.
Of how I made it.
No matter what you might be going through,
thank you. Right. I worship you. You are here God, get into the very essence. Nothing else matters. In fact, I want you to find yourself right in the Holy of Holies. I'm in His presence. While I'm there thanking Him, I know that I have a right. Whatever I need, He will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants Him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need you to move in this place tonight. I just need you to move in this place. He's doing it right now.
Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the gates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Help me, somebody say it tonight. Open the gates of
Heard from them in a long time, a good few months, and I thought they were mad at me because I said I was going to come to New Orleans and I get back from Barbados. But then, you know, one thing lead to another, next thing lead to another, and then we got caught up in a lot of stuff, doing stuff, working and stuff, having my sister fix her house. That being, you know, a lot of stuff was going on with the house that we had to do, how to replace all the floors in the house. And God had blessed us to be able to do that. We didn't have the money in the bank, but I tell you the truth, but the Lord was giving us work constantly since we got back here so we could help her. So we helped her. And then yesterday we had, last night, we had this fellowship, Tawanda Anderson, that's her name, yes, come back. And she and her mother, we, three of us, was on the phone last night just talking about Jesus. And then we went into a fellowship prayer. I'll tell you something, when it is true, when it's real, it takes you right into the presence of the Lord. And it was 2:30 something to 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't realize it was that late. You know, we started talking a little after 11 o'clock. And it was something to 3 o'clock this morning. We went into praying for everybody and their mama. And the government and everybody, the doctors and lawyers and teachers. And it was just so beautiful, so wonderful. I said, God, if I didn't have the Spirit of God, I would have given up on that family. Think that they just give me to the wolves, but they didn't give me to the wolves. They said, Papa, we've been thinking, Mama been asking about you, Mama been praying for you. I said, well, praise God, because I need all the prayer I can get. I'm telling you, I need all the prayer that I can get. Because, you know, Jesus says, the one that close to me dipped in the porridge, the lentil soup, and with him, he's the one that will betray him. I tell you, it's powerful. It's powerful. God is just loving on us and keeping us and filling us with so much. This morning, this is really part two of yesterday's message, but the Lord gave me a different title for it. But it's part two of the message. And we're talking about the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. We're going to start in Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in Acts chapter 4. I had verse 8 and verse 31. But I want to start at verse 1 and come to verse 8, and then we'll jump down. This is so powerful, so powerful. Most preachers know this scripture by heart. Some of them can rehearse it from the top to the bottom. It is such a powerful word. See, this power and authority that we talked about on yesterday, we talked about it very strongly yesterday. So many people, I had people from Mississippi been sending me message saying, thank you, Apostle, thank you for the message. I said, to God be the glory. You know, we talked about power to proclaim the truth yesterday. And it's so important that we understand that this power, it don't come from the witch, it don't come from the warlock, it doesn't come from the tarot card readers, don't come from the crystal ball reader, it doesn't come from the palm reader or the magician or none of this stuff. This power and authority, it comes from God. He gives us this when he called us out of that wrecking place that we were in sin. He empower us with his power, and he gave us his name. He gave us his name, which is the authority to speak to the enemy, to cause the enemy to back up off of us. This is where this come from. You can't go down to the grocery store and buy this thing. You can't give your pastor, your bishop, your evangelist, your teacher, all the money that you can give it and think you can get. This thing comes from, this is a gift that only comes from above. It comes from the throne room. Hallelujah. And the more you live, the more you strive to live like him and obey him, the more the giftings that he gives and impart in us, it gets stronger. It gets stronger. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your intellect open clear. You're more apt to see and hear what thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. You're led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And not by the flesh. Hallelujah. You know, so some folk, you know, they say, well, I'm in power. I'm going to heaven. I'm doing this. But if you look at their lifestyle and look at how they treat people, how they respond to people at just a snap of a finger, they're not going to heaven. They're not going to heaven. They don't know how to love their neighbor as themselves. Hallelujah. They love you if everything seemed like you were acting right to please them the way they want to be pleased. Hallelujah. Not the way that God requires it. See, because they have a mindset these folk have a mindset of how they want things done. You can't make no errors. You got to always operate in perfection. Hallelujah. You got to operate in perfection. Everything that you do, say, and do got to be up on the up and up. If you ever slide, if you ever slide 1 minute, they'll call you out. They'll mess you up. They'll talk bad about you. They'll cut you up. They'll put you on the cross. They'll nail your feet. They'll nail your hands. They'll pierce your side. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. This is why you have to stay connected to Jesus. This is the one, not to people. You got to stay connected to Jesus. And if you're going to be connected to people here in the earth realm, better make sure that they're walking with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't connect with nobody because of what they can do for you or you can do for them. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. He is the gatekeeper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is the gatekeeper. If you come in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, Acts chapter 4. And the Bible says, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Huh? You see, when you begin to preach it, you teach it about the cross, hallelujah. When you teach about the blood of Jesus Christ, the only thing that can heal you and deliver you and restore you, folk that supposed to be representing Jesus going to come against you. Even them folk that inside the church building going to come against you, hallelujah, because you preaching truth. You preaching sound doctrine. You're not watering down the word. You're not trying to say something to please anybody. Your only objective is to please the Savior. Hallelujah. So you operated in the realm of holiness, power. Hallelujah. You were operating in that realm, oh God, of authority that people know. The angels know. Heaven's hosts know that you are the servant of God. We're talking this morning about the power of the Spirit. Peter and John and the other apostles, they are still sharing the word. They are still delivering the word of God. And Peter always step up front. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. In other words, they put them in prison. For it was now evening time, or eventide, which means evening. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day, that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, and John and Alexandra, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? See, they want to know, how are you operating and what name are you operating in? See, because you know you're not operating in your name. You're not operating in your bishop name or your apostle name. You're operating in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above all other names. Hallelujah. You go to some of these outfits. I love church buildings. I love to go in church buildings. I love to visit churches. But you go in some of them places, their pastors, these apostles, these chief apostles, these archbishops, and all of them that have all these degrees, they preach in a highfalutin way, well-educated way. They use a lot of large words that most of the congregational members don't understand. But the name that they need to call, they don't call out. They don't call out Jesus. They try to preach to impress the people how well they can preach. How well they can preach. But they're not exalting and magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this thing in this book. Watch Peter. Then Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost. See, he's filled with power, heavenly power. What kind of power are we filled with? Listen. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Peter let them know. By this time they are gripped in their hearts. Because some of them that were standing right there, Peter knew that they were involved in Jesus' arrest, in Jesus' imprisonment, in Jesus' death on the cross. They were involved in it. They were part of it. Hallelujah. There's some people that are going to come around us, and they're going to preach, and they're going to teach. But these are the same people that's going to betray us. They're going to talk ill of us. Hallelujah. They're going to do stuff for us. They're going to help us carry stuff. But then the same people are going to cut us down. Cut us down. This is where you got to stay connected to Jesus. Your faith got to be in Jesus, not in what no man or woman or kinfolk can do for you, but what Jesus has done for you. Peter pointed them back to the cross. Listen what he said. Let's go a little further. I didn't want to go no further, but Holy Spirit said go a little further. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. You're supposed to be the ones that lifting up the gospel. You're supposed to be the ones that expounding on the name of Jesus, on Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shabbat. You're the ones that supposed to say, Emmanuel, God be with us. God with us. But you are the same ones that reject. Listen what he said. This is the stone, Jesus, which was set at naught of you builders. You all didn't even care for him. Hallelujah. Ostracized him. Which become the head of the corner. He said, neither is there salvation. There's no deliverance, no restoration. Listen what he's saying. No eternal life. And any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness, they seem to see the power now. So you see, because the power of God, the authority of God, the truth of God gives you boldness. When you understand that you are speaking this thing by the Spirit of God, you become bold. Hallelujah. You're not afraid. You're not afraid. I watched a little snippet last night I just removed it from my face because I don't love snakes. And this thing happened a little while ago, a few years ago, down south. And these hillbilly preachers, they go and they send the kids out to catch. And they go and catch these big rattlesnakes. And then they're preaching to have the snake all around their neck and on the chest and put the snake, hold the snake, let the snake head come in their face and all that stuff. And the preacher running around, a young man looked like he's in his early 30s, running around the altar. He preaching and he's saying good words. But you can say a lot of good words, but the good word has to be coming out of your heart, not of your head. What do you say, an apostle? The good word has to be lined up with your spiritual heart. In other words, you're living, you're walking, teaching, preaching what you live. By White Dad, he said, we got to practice what we preach. We're not preaching something just to sound eloquent, like we know all this. You know, we more than a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. No, we're preaching this thing because this is the way. This is how God called us to live. This is how he instructs us to live in the Spirit. With power to proclaim the truth. And the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, something happens when you have an encounter with the Lord. It's not just falling off the horse or the donkey or the camel or the pony. You, when you have an encounter with Jesus, something happened on the inside. Something happened on the inside. Glory to God. And it caused you to look different on the outside. People can recognize that there's a glory that's flowing from the inside of you. They said to you, Pastor, I don't know what it is, but if I look on you, I can see that you are glowing. You don't look the same. You know, when I was smoking crack cocaine, you see me, you can say, that was a man dying. You look at him and say, that's a man dying, because I had no glow. There was no glow on me. All of my skin had been sucked out of me by the crack cocaine. But when God came and got me out of the crack house, and he sat to renew me from the inside, refurbish me from the inside, all begin to come back into my bloodstream, flow out my pores. My face began to fill in again. You couldn't see the bone, the cheekbone anymore. Flesh began to come underneath the skin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My mind began to change. I began to have a different focus of what life is supposed to be. I begin to take on, excuse me, I begin to take on the characteristics of who Jesus is. Not was, who he is. Hallelujah. I begin to take it on. And my life begin to change. I begin to see people the way God sees them. I don't focus on their sin. I come against sin. But I don't focus on the sin. I focus that God wants to change them. And he wants to use you and I and us, we, to tell them about his works. Tell them about the cross. Tell them about the power and authority that he has available to those that will call upon his name in repentance. Peter says, they saw the boldness. They perceived that they were ignorant men, unlearned and ignorant. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing. They could say nothing against it. See, when this thing, this encounter, we have this spiritual encounter, something take over us. I woke up this morning, and I was thinking about how wonderful it is. And I begin to thank God for keeping me and my friends through the night, my family and my friends through the night, and bringing us into this day, clothing us in our right mind, and giving us the activities of our limbs. That was my prayer this morning. I was thanking God. I wasn't asking God for anything. I was praying for the people that I'm connected to. And I ask God to bring souls. Let bring souls that want to hear his word. God, strengthen us to be available to teach and preach. Give us what we need to say at that hour. Let's jump down to verse 31. If I want to jump down. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. You see, when we come together as one, as we talked about yesterday, we begin to grow, not in singularity, but we begin to grow as pure, as one but yet pure, yet many. We begin to grow filled with the Holy Ghost, ready to do the will of God when we come together. In this Bible, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, where we was yesterday. There's two verses we're going to pull up there, and then we're moving on. Acts chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Some Bible says, a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. See, remember we talk about when we come on one accord, when we begin to think alike. We're not critiquing each other. We're not looking for a mistake by someone else. God spoke with him, about talk ready, and all they look is listen. They listen to hear somebody say something wrong. To them, it's wrong. Instead of hearing what God is saying, they go into the verse of the person or people, and they put up what they think they're hearing. Think all they want to do is critique. When you're critiquing the woman of God, the man, what you critiquing God? You're critiquing God. I was studying last night in Elisha. And when Tawanda called me, I called her. She says she called me first. I've talked to her for so long, I didn't recognize the number. And if I don't recognize the number, I don't answer the phone. Because I mean, tens of numbers, sometimes hundreds of numbers in a day, calling me from the Republicans and the Democrats. They call me all day long. Text messages, emails, all day long from both parties. And I see all these strange numbers. They call me from Virginia. They call me from Louisiana. They call me from Texas. They call me from Tennessee. I mean, all these different governors are calling me. I don't mess with them. So when I saw the number, I didn't recognize it was her number because we haven't spoken for a little after I came back from Barbados. We didn't speak from there. So I didn't ask. So then I said, you know what, let me just check this thing. And I called her. And she said, well, I didn't think you were going to call me back. I said, well, you know, it just came on my spirit. I was thinking about you. And I just came in my spirit. So I just called and see, you know, recognized then the number was yours from what I heard. And she said, well, you know, she began talking about Elijah and Elisha. I said, you know, it's got to be God because I was just studying two passages from the 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And both of these prophets raise a little boy from dead. And I was looking over the different circumstances of the anointing that was upon these two men. One had a double portion. One had a strong portion, but the other one had a double portion. And I watched and see how God has imparted this power and this authority on these two men because of obedience. And we began talking, and we went on, just sharing and just having a fellowship on the phone. It was beautiful. But here, we see here in this text here, we just read in Acts chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. What did he say? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, King James Version, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. But you understand, the main thing in this text is that they were on one accord. They were together, thinking alike. They were focused on the same subject. Acts chapter 9. Go down to Acts chapter 9, the NLT. This is very fast. Yeah. Acts chapter 9. I'm not going to keep it too long because I got to get up. I got to go in and get this word ready for tomorrow morning. The Lord say the same. And we are in the land of living. We're going to run on over, and we're going to do what thus says the Lord. Acts chapter 9. And let's look at verse 17 to 19. Here, apostle is speaking. He says, so Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eye, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Now this Paul now was you know, the Saul had his encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus. Well, he lost his sight. See, sometimes you have to lose the path that you were going on in order to receive the path that you must go on. You have to let go of something to regain to gain something. You can't hold on to your past and think you're going to get into the future. Some people can't even operate in the present because they're so busy still trying to fix the past. And then, you know, we get together, we come together, and all we talk about was sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so did this to me. This is why I don't go to church anymore. I don't go anywhere with church because I had bad relationship with pastor. But you ever thought about critiquing yourself? Because so many people are so apostle, a bishop, deacon, so many people are so apt to point their fingers. Deacon Fraser said this. They point their finger at everybody else. But they don't look at their hand and see that when they're pointing one, there's four fingers pointing back at them. Don't look at that. We have to examine our own self. Take inventory of your life. Take inventory of the way you live, the way you treat people, the way you talk about people. God sees and God hears. Nothing escapes his eyes. He's not blind to what we're saying. He just don't treat us the way we ought to be treated for the things that we say and do. But we still think we're going to heaven. We don't want to repent. We don't want to go before the Most High God and confess our sins. King James Version. Acts chapter 13. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts chapter 13. We're talking about disconnected part one yesterday. Different title, but it really lines up with that. The power of the Spirit. People got the power of gab. They can talk. And they tell you the Hebrew, tell you the Greek, the Latin. Oh, they want to impress you. How well, and they tell you, well, I was studying for this long time, and this and that. But if you don't have compassion, you don't have mercy, you don't have grace, you're not long-suffering. As soon as somebody says something, you flip off. And your chest rises up. Anger. You're full of anger. You can hear it in your voice. I'm getting the hookups at my age. But you can hear it in your voice. Acts chapter 13, verse 9. But the voice from heaven said again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. This is Acts chapter 11, verse 9. The Spirit of God is speaking to Peter. Okay? Acts chapter 13, verse 9 says, Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he looked the sorcerer in the eyes. Then he said, you son of the devil, King New Living Translation, you son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, an enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Paul asked a powerful, awful question. See, when God comes in and God changes your heart, change your mindset, you begin to talk different, walk different, you look different. You defend the cross. You defend the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not compromising what God has said. You are saying, well, God told me to say it, but I'm not going to say it today. Because there's some people here in the service, I don't really want to offend them. No, you speak it if there's snakes in the church or if there's lambs in the church. They all need to hear the truth. You don't compromise the truth. This is why you need the power and authority of God. You're not here to please men and women. You're here to only please Jesus himself. He's the one going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me, your work of iniquity. He's the one that's going to say that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul says, watch now. For the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you. And you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time. Instantly the mist and darkness came over the man's eye. And he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. Who are we teaching about in your church, on your job, at the park, at the family gathering? Who are you talking about? Are you so filled that you forget who filled you? Ah, Lord Jesus, help us. Are we so filled that we forget who filled us? Jump down to verse 52. Let's jump on down on the page. Same chapter. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, the same thing. See, we have to examine our own selves, because if we are not operating in the spirit of the Most High, maybe we are operating in the spirit of the God of this world. Let's jump up to verse 44. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. You have some people that are going to come to the church. There may be ministers. There may be prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. And when God begins to use you and move upon your life and begin to fill your cup with new oil, these folk that say they love you are going to come against you. Why? They can't be happy for you that God is using you. They can't say, well, Apostle Bishop, whatever you need me to do to help you do what God says, let me know. No, they look for a way. They look for a way to critique you, and then they begin, the same people that say that they're with you, begin to talk and make people come up against you, to turn people against you. You have never done anything wrong to them. This is what happened here in this text right here. It's happening right here. There's a politician calling from Virginia. Now, the Bible says some of the Jews, they were jealous. People are going to become jealous over you. We're going to teach this. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. We're going to take the word to the Gentiles. There's folk that out there that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. These folks are not hungry and thirsty. They're just looking for accolades like some of us. They're looking for praise that only comes from man and not the praise that comes from God. Jesus said so in John chapter 5, verse 44. They're looking for honor that comes from man and not for the honor that comes from God. This is where they cut up each other so bad. It says, for the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message. And all who were chosen for the eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incite a mob against Paul and Barnabas and run them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy. and with the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes you got to know. You don't let nobody stop you. Don't let anyone stop you. You're a teacher, preacher. Acts chapter 19. Let's go over there. Acts 19. Glory to God. Let me see. Yeah, we got a little bit more time. 19. Acts 19. First one. This is Paul's third missionary journey. New Living Translation. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the course where he found several believers. Paul's missionary is to reach believers and unbelievers. There's much work to be done. It's not about us. You know, we say that all the time. You hear a lot of people say, oh, well, it's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. But we say that, but a lot of times we still want to have the focus on us because we're looking for praise. But in reality, really, we ought to be reaching, trying to reach people that are lost. And those that give their life to Christ, truly give their life to Christ, we need to have them to come and help in the vineyard. The harvest is ready, but the labor's a few. We got to pray to the master that he would send helpers. The apostles were not motivational speakers like a lot of us today's preachers. They were given power and authority. They had a strong desire to be like the master, to fulfill the assignment that was given to them. That's a little side note that I wrote. They were not motivational speakers. They had a strong desire. We need a strong desire to be like Jesus. That's why we need to examine ourselves, take inventory of ourselves instead of taking inventory of everybody else. We're looking to see what everybody is doing. If they're not following Jesus, don't follow them. Paul said if they come with another doctrine, just depart from them. You don't have to worry about them. You got an assignment. Follow your assignment. The assignment is to declare the truth. Uncompromised truth. Hear what he says. There was this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Paul, Apollos was in Corinth. Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the course where he found several believers. And he asked them the question, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? He asked them, no, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked, and they replied, the baptism of John. Talk about John, the baptism, the Baptist. Paul said, John, baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you understand, there's so many preachers that don't have this revelation. And they will fuss with you and start a ruckus when you said you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. They say, well, Jesus said, baptize them, the people, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is what Jesus said. But the revelation of the Father is Jesus. The revelation of the Son is Jesus. And the revelation of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is Jesus. When you get that, you begin to step into a new level, a new dimension, a new realm. Then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were all about 12 men in all. There were all about 12 men. Understand this. We need the encounter of God. We need the encounter of his spirit. Luke chapter 1, St. Luke chapter 1. People of God, I'm telling you something. When you open your heart, open your spiritual heart and let Jesus in. You're out there in computer land, you preach and teaching. It's a young man, and he calls himself the Revelator. It's Jonas. He's in Nairobi, Kenya. I ordained him in 2017 when I was there. And this man is going after God like never before. Yesterday I was watching him doing a revival. There were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. He was doing a revival. Not a fancy stadium, an open-air revival. And there were thousands of people. And I was laying on the bed and I watched him and said, God, I just thank you. Because this is one of the laborers that you have allowed me to lay hands on, to pray for. And he's out there in the mission field, working for the king. On Block Talk Radio. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Glory to God. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Talking here about John, Zacharias, his father, Elizabeth, his mother. Elizabeth is Mary's cousin. She is being impregnated. Zacharias didn't believe because she was getting up in age. He was already in age. But we always hear the saying, is anything too hard for God? A lot of times we say, I know God can do this. I know God can do that. But in reality, right behind that speech that comes out of our mouth, we have some doubt. We have some doubt. We pray for a man in Louisiana, New Orleans. Prayed for him. He was in the hospital. And his calf bone, he had some infection in his leg, in the calf. And it started to eat the flesh. So the doctors had to cut out all the dead flesh. His daughter that we were talking to last night, she said, Apostle, could smell the flesh, the dead flesh of my father's leg. She says, it hurt me to see the bone of the calf bone. She said the doctor told the father that they're going to have to, the probably was planning to cut off his leg below his knee or above his knee. While we are, she is talking to me, she in the hospital. And I begin to pray. I said, let us pray as the Holy Spirit give us utterance. Let us pray for your father's leg, that they would not cut off his leg. And that the God that we serve is so awesome and powerful that he can heal your father to put back new flesh. Well, so said, so done. The doctor started doing something else. Cutting out all the dead flesh and all that stuff and packing his stuff, recording and stuff to pick up all that juice that comes out the flesh that's there. He had to be in a wheelchair pushing around because he couldn't walk on that leg. And the Holy Spirit touched this man. You know what? He said, I can't wait for the apostle to come to New Orleans because I want to thank him. I talked to him on the phone. God has bring back new flesh over that bone. God did that, not Apostle Callender. We just prayed with his daughter. We stand in agreement for her father. Because he said, He don't know how he can live with one leg. You know, a lot of people, when they lose a limb, they don't feel they can just live without a limb. They want to keep committing suicide. And now he got both his feet walking around, doing driving his Cadillac and going all kind of places. God filled him, that big old hole that he had in the back of his calf, big long hole. God is able. Zachariah had, the angel had to speak a word over Zachariah and take away his speech. For 9 months he couldn't talk. Can you imagine that? He has an office in the church. He had to make sure that the incense was light, that the candle was light, that the house, the synagogue, the temple was already prepared for the priest to come in and preach. He had an office, but he didn't believe. How could this happen? Mary said the same thing, but then she said, so be it unto me. Because she said, look, she was questioning herself, how could this happen to me? I ain't never slept with a man. But then the power of God would come upon her. The angel said, would come upon you. You shall be with child. This is thing going to happen by God. She said, but so be it unto me. We got to get a so be it in our spirit, man, that God is able to do what we're calling to God for. Jump down on the page, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem, Jesus' parents, every year at the feast of the Passover. Jesus is going up with his mother and father. Listen to what going on here. Verse 67, we're talking about the spirit of the power, which is part two, Leonard, what we taught yesterday. Here we are, Luke 1. Let's go down to verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. This always puzzled me. I hear preachers preach this there. I got a scripture there, a number there that's not in the book. And I always wonder how could you have your child with you and don't realize that he's missing? And it happens today, but I see it because God showed it to me. How we can get, even though children are miss so much or go missing so much now, because people, I saw it on the TV a couple months ago. This lady was at the park. And it also happened with a man, too. Both scenarios were a man and a short with a woman. And the woman was so busy on the cell phone texting. And the little girl was running up the slides, coming down the slide, going up on the monkey, what do you call it. And she was going on all these different toys that they have in there. You know, the ramps that you can go and slide down and the monkey bar and all this stuff. Well, while she doing that, officer, the undercover officer, just in the park and just snatched the little girl. When she come from her senses of fooling with a cell phone, she started looking around frantic and crying and shouting out, my baby. The little girl looked like she was 4 or 5 years old. It's gone. And the man had took the little girl and have sitting in the car and watching her walking around frantic. Then the man says, bring the little girl to us. Look, I took your baby because I was watching. You were so busy with technology that you wouldn't pay your child. And Mary and Joseph was probably doing some whatever talking. Talking about what a good time they had while it was in Jerusalem at the feast. And Jesus was behind, finding himself in the temple. Verse 47 says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother and said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us. Why do you treat us like that? Why do you walk away and stay back behind while we were trying to get back home? Why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. In other words, we were looking for you, and we were almost lost our mind. We almost lose our mind, didn't know where we are. And Jesus said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? Did you know that I have to be about my Father's business? This is what I come to do. Hallelujah. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. See, when we make that decision to follow the leading of the Father, we begin to be enlightened even the more. We grow more and more like him. We get a greater understanding of the calling that's on our lives. But you got to be submissive. You got to become submissive to him. Hallelujah. To the Father. Hallelujah. This is in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1, let's go back because this, I have given you chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 1 and let's go to verse 15. That was chapter 2. God wants that. He says, verse 15, Luke chapter 1. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is talking about John the Baptist. Now, let's go down to where we want to be. 41 in this one. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped, I always call this the first worship, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hear this. When Elizabeth heard that Mary was pregnant, oh, she was excited. She wasn't jealous. Her cousin was, you know, when people hear you get a promotion, they get jealous. They begin to talk negative about you. But Mary wasn't, Elizabeth wasn't, she said, no, I'm happy for my cousin. You can imagine they having all this talking going on. And Mary saying how she's pregnant, Elizabeth saying how she's pregnant. Man, they have a good time going on, their cousin, they love one another. The Bible says that when she got the salutation of Mary, the baby leaked in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled. Even in the womb, Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with power. He had authority. Even in the womb, he had authority. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? She said, what is this, the mother of my Lord? Elizabeth knew by the Spirit that her cousin was carrying the Lord. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutations sounded in my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. When she heard that Mary was pregnant, Mary said, well, cousin, I just come to let you know. I traveled all this distance, come up these years to let you know that I am pregnant. And God did this because she knew that Mary was a virgin. No man touched her. She was ready to be married. She was a good Jewish girl. The Bible says, and blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Here now we can go to this one that I want to go to, 67. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and have raised up a horn of salvation, Jesus, for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. God is still speaking through us. He spoke through the old prophets. He's speaking through us now, new prophets. Are we ready? Acts 4. Let me give you back this verse again. And 31. Let's go back. The Lord wants to go back to that verse. Acts 4 and 31. And let's pop it there in the King James Version. How I got these scriptures? I don't know. Oh, I got this scripture right. That's right, the wrong number here. Okay. Well, let's leave that alone. I don't know. Maybe in another scripture. Let me see here. Let me see here. In this Bible here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to go to Ephesians. But let's look at the scripture here first. Hallelujah. Something I write here. And know what's going on here. Acts 4. Oh, man, I've got the wrong. I'm looking at the wrong scripture in the King James. Acts 4 and 31. Yeah. He says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, see, this is so powerful too. When we come together, I can't see this. You see, Peter prayed for boldness. He prayed for boldness that he might preach the gospel with boldness. A lot of time we are praying for all the other stuff. We want God to send stuff so we can be rich. You know, the rich you want to get is you want more anointing. You want more all of heaven. You want the spirit of discernment. Ephesians chapter 5. And just one more scripture, because we did that scripture yesterday, Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, but I had this inside, I had it in there today. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Glory to God, glory to God. I don't know if you all get anything on this today, but I tell you, I sure enough get this. Sure enough, God. He said, I have to go and take a break and study something. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18. I'm saying so much. And be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled. See, John the Baptist didn't drink any wine. He had the spirit to serve God. And God is saying the same thing for us. You have people today that are teaching and preaching the gospel right here in my city. I don't know about your city, but in my city, they're preaching the gospel, and they preach sound doctrine. But you know, it's messed up when we preach sound doctrine, but we can't live sound doctrine. We want everybody else to say, we tell them how to, well, you got to live this way, you got to live that way, but we don't live that way. We have to come back to the foot of the cross, and we have to bow down before Jesus, that we allow in the flesh to lead us in God. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you saying? Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If we're not experiencing this peace, this joy, and we're not walking in righteousness, what kind of spirit do you have? Do you really truly have the Holy Spirit? I was telling this customer yesterday, I said, no, I remember when when I was in the world, I was acting simple. I said, when I hear the ambulance or police siren, my feet would tremble on the gasoline. I mean, I can't keep my foot steady. It would just vibrate. I said, but now since I've been saved and following the word, the instruction of God, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. After I hear him, all I just do is just pull over and let them go by. It don't follow me. I don't get nervous. I don't tremble. Nothing anymore. Because why? God has taken away that from me, taken away that nervousness from me, and he allowed me to walk in his peace, to experience his joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not saying that I'm perfect, because none of us are perfect. But I'm saying that we should be walking in the peace and the joy of the Lord in righteousness. Hallelujah. We should be ready to help our brothers and sisters at a moment's notice instead of looking at them just to cut them down. We still fall. I tell people, if you see me going the wrong way, please pull me up. Don't let me end up in hell. Said, Apostle, I realize that you're doing this or doing that. Can we pray about this, that God would deliver you? That's how we're supposed to help one another. Or we call up Sister So-and-so. Let me just tell you about Apostle. Call it Brother So-and-so. Let me just tell you about Sister So-and-so. We're not helping one another. You're not helping one another. I have so many preachers that call me. They say, man, I've been watching you on Facebook. Can you pray for me? I got preachers in Bahamas that is my partners in Christ. You know, people think they only can be partners if you are writing a big check. No, we are partners in the gospel. We are brothers. We are sisters in the gospel. And we are here to help one another. God called us to help one another, not to pull down and cut up one another. We help each other in love. I mean, sometimes you say something to somebody, they get offensive. They can't receive godly help. You just look and can't say a word. How are you going to get help? What did Jesus say to Peter? He rebuked Peter. He loved Peter. He made Peter the leader. But he rebuked Peter. He rebuked that spirit that was in Peter. Peter didn't want him to go to the cross. He said, no, this can't happen to you. And he told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He was speaking to the spirit that had infiltrated Peter. That's what he was speaking to, that spirit that came in Peter. Hallelujah, glory to God. Sometimes we have to, somebody is your friend, your associate, your brother in Christ, you got to tell them, get behind me, Satan. They get mad with you. They want to talk about you, want to say something, but you got to understand, you got eyes to see the spirit that is trying to pull them away. You got to speak to that spirit. If they have a spirit of discernment, they would know that you are not talking to them, but you're talking to the spirit that's in them, that's trying to take them out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But they don't want you to talk. We thanking God and praising God. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we were able to come on today and just put this message on the recording. Lord, that somebody who know how to go back and then download and who know how to go and download after listening so that they can share it with someone else, that they're not just eating all of this good spiritual food for themselves. Because God wants us to share. Give to that one that don't know. I was talking to a minister, and he said, man, I don't know how to do all that kind of stuff on the computer. I said, well, you know what? I didn't ever know. You know, some people, when I was growing up in my country, they had these classes that you could go to and learn how to type. You know, they had that old-fashioned typewriter that had a slide that you had to slide to the keyboard. Well, we didn't go to that. I had friends and boys and girls that used to go to class. We couldn't go because my family couldn't afford to pay for me to go to them class. But when I came to America, I got a cell phone that opened just like a laptop. And I learned how to use the keyboard by that cell phone. And now I can type on my computer and all that stuff easily and do what find what God wants me to find. But we thank God and praise God for you all today. And we don't take your presence lightly. We are praising God for you, even when you are not here on the line, able to respond. We are praising God for you. Praising God for your marriage, praising God for your family, for your sons, your daughters, your parents. We are praising God for everything that concerns you. Your job, we praising you'll be safe while you're on your job. We are praising God that your marriage will stay strong. My God, that the fire will continue to burn in your marriage. And, you know, we pray that. We pray that because, as I was saying to somebody yesterday, it's amazing how much marriages are being dissolved in the church. There are more divorces in the church now than the world. You would think, well, the church have Jesus, they have the power of God, but they're not staying together. Even relationship, friends, brothers and sisters can't be brothers and sisters anymore in the church. I mean, they fight like cats and dogs. They spend more time fighting with each other. And the devil don't have to worry about us because we fight so much against each other. I had some friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. We no longer together. We no longer socialize. We don't talk. Why? Because they're smarter. They're better. They're better than I am. They're smarter than I am. They have more than I have. But I have Jesus. And I know I have him because he lives in my heart. You know, I still pray for them. You know, still wish the best for them. And we're still doing what we called to do. And hopefully they're doing what they called to do. And we're not mad. I want you to know we're not mad and we're not hating nobody. We don't have no hating spirit. That's one thing we don't have. Because we have the Spirit of God. When you have the Spirit of God, you don't have a hating spirit. You know that. You have a loving spirit. Pray for me as I pray for you all. And pray for my knee. Pray for my left knee. It's coming around, but you know, it's still trying to stay on bone or something, trying to get there, but we're not having no knee replacement. We have a machine that we're going to, electronic machine that we're going to order. Cost $200. It's a laser machine. We're going to get it. You know, some people bought, too. I was listening to a lot of testimonies about this machine. And a lot of people said they bought two. One lady said, I bought one for me and one for my husband. But you don't need two because if you want the kind of money to buy them, because they're not cheap. You can buy two, and if you have both knees that are troubled, you can put them on, one on each knee. But I'm going to get one, you know, and get my cartilage, fix the cartilage in my knee. But we thank God for you all. I'm going to get it here. Brother Deacon Fraser, I wasn't able to get on there last night because I was having a fellowship with my sister from Louisiana last night and her mother. We had a great time on the phone. She's back with her fiance. He is back. And we've been praying for that, and they're back together. And this is a man that helps her a lot, do a lot for her. And very soon they will be married. Very, very soon. And we thank God for that. So we're going to pray, and we're going to get over here. I'll try to get on your line tonight. Brother Deacon, if you are there, if you are in your worship, praise and worship at the church, then I would jump off. But I'm going to try to get on there tonight and fellowship with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing right now, Lord Jesus, in our midst. Thank you for brothers. Deacon Fraser, thank you for Apostle Stewart coming on with us today. As always, he's always here, even though sometimes he's places that he can't respond. We thank you, Father, and we praise you, Father, for allowing him to be part of what we are doing today and every day. Oh, Father, we bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name. Holy Spirit of the living God, we pray that you continue to strengthen us. Help us, oh God, to walk the straight and narrow path, oh God. Father, keep us focused on the things of heaven, our God, that way we might be able to enter in and be part of that heavenly service, oh God. We only want to give you praise, oh God. We are asking now today, in the mighty name of Jesus, for your strength, oh God, you to strengthen us. Strengthen us, Father. Bless us with hearing. Bless us with seeing, oh God. Bless us, God, with knowing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, how we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Bless us to see and bless us to hear, Lord. Yes, Lord. Bless us to see and bless us to hear, Lord. Bless us to do even more. Even more, God. Even more. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, we ask, oh God, that you continue to bless the airways. Bless those that have a listening ear today, that have a desire to be closer to you, God. We ask you, Father God, to bless the poor and the needy, oh God. Those that are poor in spirit and those that are poor financially. We pray, Father God, for the one that don't know Jesus today, that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just invite him in your heart today. Just let him know that you are sorry for the way you've been living, how you have turned your back on him, doing your own thing. Let him know. He knows. But tell him, because when you tell him that, you make the devil mad. The devil don't want you to confess your faults. He don't want you to say nothing, because he know if you continue to stay like that, he have control over you. You understand what I'm saying? Tell the Lord today that you are sorry. Tell him that you are sorry of the way you've been living your life. Tell him that you acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior, the one who went to the cross, who gave his life for the sin of man. Talk to Jesus, my friend. Talk to him. Let him know that you need him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. That means anybody who believe on him, doesn't matter who they are. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Hallelujah. The Bible says, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you got to ask yourself, where do you fit in with this scenario? Because some people say, well, you know, I haven't done this, I ain't doing that, and we try to validate our stance. We try to validate our stance. And, you know, I know one time I was in the church. You know, I always talk about my testimony. I was in the church, and as I was in the church, it was a Portuguese church. And I was talking, sharing my testimony. And the pastor would start saying, oh, no, I ain't never did nothing like that. You know, Oh, he was pushing his chest up because I was talking about how bad I was, the lifestyle I used to live, and how the Lord Jesus has saved my life, delivered me from the lifestyle I was living, where he was mocking me. He started to walk around and push his chest up, and he was saying, you know, I never like that. I never did nothing like that. I know that's what he was saying. He ain't never did nothing like I did. But I was happy because I knew that I was delivered. God had delivered me. And we find out months later that he wasn't as holy as he was saying. He was the pastor of the church. I was one of the pastors. And we found out later that he was stealing all the money from the church. You know, but he was looking down on me because I was a person that God delivered from crack cocaine. And I wasn't ashamed to testify to give God the glory. So he was looking down on me. And then we found out that he was a big thief in the church, the pastor that was stealing God's money, God's people's money. I got right here in my house. Pastor Vic has given me the authority to pick up, to collect all the money, you know. And I have hundreds of dollars in my briefcase. Hundreds. Not $2, hundreds of dollars, you know. But I'm not taking and would not take a penny because it's not money. It's God's money to do what God wants to do with the church. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm saying all this, that you have to cast all of those things, the sin, oh God, that so easily besets you. Look to God, the author and finisher of your faith. The Bible says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seeks him. So if you're seeking to find Jesus, Jesus is not lost. Jesus is there waiting for you to come to him. He's calling you to him. Hallelujah. Because people say, I need to find Jesus. No, Jesus is not lost. You just got to come to him. He's waiting right there. Matter of fact, he's right next to you. He's knocking on your heart. You hear the call this morning. That come to him just as you are. Don't wait till you get a new suit, a new dress, a new wig, or able to go to the barber shop or the hair salon. No, come just as you are. And when you come as you are, you're not going to stay as you are. I want you to understand that. You're not going to stay as you are because when you come as you are, he is going to change you. He's going to start changing you that you start becoming like who he is. Hallelujah. Do you hear me today? This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to come. Come and repent. The Bible said that you must, all of you, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. So come and repent. Repent means that you're coming and you're going to begin turning away from your sin, from your past life. Then you start receiving the life that Jesus has already ordained for you from Calvary. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:19b says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when you come into Jesus' presence, the darkness in your life, which represents sin, will be exposed to the righteousness, the holiness of who Jesus is by the light of God. Do you hear me today? The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God commended his life towards us, his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah, glory to God. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah, glory to God. And Proverbs 11:1 says a false balance is abomination to God, but a just weight is his delight. We can't continue doing things in a crooked way, a deceptive way. We got to get real with God and ask God to change us, ask God to renew us, ask God to restore us to the rightful position in Him. Hallelujah. We can't keep jumping over the fence. We got to go through the door. The door is Jesus. So if you really want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, call upon Him today. Say, Lord Jesus, my name, your name. Say, tell the Lord, say, yes, I lived my life in sin. I did everything I wanted to do the way I wanted to do. And I know, Lord, that it wasn't pleasing to you after I heard the word today. I heard about the power and authority of God. I heard about the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, that you are forgiving God. So today, Lord Jesus, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I come to you today, broken and open to you, for you to fix me and fill me. Restore me, Lord Jesus, with love and compassion, with mercy and grace, with the spirit of repentance, forgiveness, that I will forgive my brothers and sisters that hurt me. And I've been hurt every which way, you know, God, by the people I call my friends. Tell God, He knows. I'm a preacher and a teacher right now, and I can tell you that I've been hurt by a lot of friends, people that I ordained to be ministers. I ordained them to be deacons, to be elders, to be evangelists, pastors, teachers. And they hurt me down to the core of my soul. But I'm still going forward. And I will still go far, because I'm not going far for them. I'm going far for Jesus, so that other people might see that I'm living, even in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm living for Christ Jesus, and they might want to ask me, what must I do to be saved? And I point them to Jesus, because I can't save nobody. I can point them to the Savior. So if you want to receive salvation, now repeat me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in all that was done at Calvary, that how you were crucified and how you died on the cross, and that you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and that God the Father raised you on the third day. I believe this in my heart. I'm confessing it with my mouth right now. Lord Jesus, my heart is open to you, and I'm inviting you to come into my heart and sup with me. Teach me how to live the life that gives glory to the Father. I ask you this morning, this afternoon, Lord Jesus, to lead me and guide me into all truth. I receive you now. Yes, Lord, I receive you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for washing me in your blood. Thank you for forgiving my sins and cleansing me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1 and 9. I thank you, Father. Thank you for being the good shepherd. I'll be the sheep. Lead me wherever you want me to go. Mold me, make me, and bend me. Shape me, O God. I thank you for saving my life. I thank you, Jesus, for giving me an opportunity to come to the tree of life and drink the fountain of life. I thank you, Father God, for raising me up today by the mercy and grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me, O God, to live and work for you, to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, if you said that prayer that I just said, and you believe it, I have no notes. I am releasing this straight from my spirit to your spirit. I pray that you believe what you have rehearsed with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, and that you would take a stand to live for Jesus. Jesus died for you. Now you got to live for him. We have to live. He died for all of us. All of us that call upon his name in repentance. Now we have to live for him. It doesn't mean that you're not, that we are not going to make mistakes. Some of the mistakes we may make is some of the old mistakes that we made before. But I want to tell you, when you fall down in the mud, don't stay down there like a pig. Get up, brush yourself off, and wash yourself off. Allow God to wash you off and cleanse you, and get back on the path. Don't let the devil keep you down in the mud. Because the moment you slip, you may go back and fornicate. You may go back and commit adultery. You may go back and steal or curse or lie or cheat or gossip. Don't stay gossiping. Don't stay sinning. Come to the cross. The blood is still strong. The blood is still flowing. The blood never lost its first estate. Come to the cross and tell Jesus, Come and tell Jesus that fallen again. And guess what? He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from unrighteousness. Raise you up again. In Jesus' name I pray. Now you have received the gift of salvation. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts that we've been teaching all of the last couple of days. Study the book. Study means to go over and over. Because I read in my Bible every night, and reading is not the thing. The Bible says study. You want to study so that you keep going over and over the word so that you can lodge the word. The word will lodge in your heart. My pastor says, put it in your heart. Put the word in your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. You want to put the word in your heart. And the more word you put in, the stronger you're going to become. Hallelujah. That don't mean that you're not going to face battles, because your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tried to see if you're going to stand flat-footed or if you're going to stand up on the tip of your toe or your heel. Stand flat-footed in Christ Jesus, and you'll be victorious all the time. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, say that you tell them that you received the gift of salvation, you're studying the Bible, and you want to be baptized in Jesus, and you want to tell them this. You got to take the stance for how you want to be baptized. Don't let people baptize you any way they want to. You say, I want to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. If they don't baptize that way, say, well, Pastor, I'll get back in touch with them. I say, we baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't get mad and fuss with the pastor, because as I always say, you may end up being the preacher of that church after the pastor die or resign. But if you act unseemly, all they can remember is that they're going to remember that you are saved and sanctified. They're going to remember how unseemly you act when you came to the church to be baptized. The pastor didn't baptize the way that you want to be baptized. So keep the bridge standing. Don't burn the bridge that you might have to walk back over. You know, that's why I don't cuss out people and fuss out people and all that stuff. I just turn away and leave all the situation, because never know God, we might cross each other path again. Because that's the way God do things. You know, I could have said, well, Tanish did this or did that. Don't talk. We wouldn't have had a great fellowship last night, she and her mother and myself. And I could have heard her fiance. And she said, okay, baby, said something that fast, that he came in the house. And I was happy that they got back together. Now, before you get baptized anywhere, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want witnesses. This is not somewhere you go, you're going to do and nobody know. You want people to know. Witnesses, they're going to make the devil mad, because you know they're going to start, see, you know, Brother James, man, he got baptized. Sister Mary, she got baptized yesterday evening. Oh, yesterday morning, man, we were down at the lake, we was at the river, we were at the ocean, we was at the church building, and they went down in the baptismal pool. Man, I can't believe that they got baptized. Understand? You want witnesses to go on and carry on this great occasion, talk about it. And then after you come up out that liquid grave, leaving all the things that had you captive in the water, you begin to walk in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You begin to walk in the righteousness. Look for a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Do you hear me? Get yourself involved in ministry. And your life will begin to change. Not saying that you're going to become perfect, because none of us are perfect. But we are being perfected every day. Every day he's perfecting us. Do you hear me? God bless you all. I love you guys. Have a blessed day. If you get a chance, go on the line tonight and support Brother Deacon Frazier out of Mississippi. He have a prayer line, a very powerful prayer line. You know, he's a praying man of God. He's one of the sons of the ministry, the deacon. Go on and support him. His line is 712-432-3900. That's 712-432-3900. And the access code is 8587-POUND. 3085-87-POUND. 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 And it's somewhere between 8 and 8:15 to begin. go on and support him. And he comes on every Friday night and Saturday night unless something happens that he has to go away because he's singing a choir. And he sometimes they go away with the church or, you know. So just check it out. Friday nights and Saturday nights. God bless you all. Have a blessed weekend. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them and you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear that will stop them from committing suicide, stop them from committing murder, stop them from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that people will see that you are a son or daughter of the Most High God, that you are living a lifestyle that glorifies God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. God bless you, and may you continue to walk in the things that glorify God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend and a safe weekend in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Bye-bye.